This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? And welcome back to another episode of The Showrunner. This is episode number 28 of The Showrunner. I am one of your hosts, Jared Morris, one of the VPs at Rainmaker FM for Rainmaker Digital. And I'm joined today by my usual co-host, Johnny Nastor, defender of humanity, host of Hack the Entrepreneur. Johnny, it's good to talk to you. We haven't recorded in a couple of weeks, as we were just mentioning. So it's nice to get back on the mic with you.
It is. It's been too long, Jared.
It has. And the reason why is because we recorded episode number 27 before we recorded episode 26, actually. And episode 26, the one we did with Sonia Simone, kind of came up as a last minute opportunity. And when you get the opportunity to talk to Sonia Simone, you take it. And so we bumped episode 27. And hopefully you noticed that little intro that we did at the beginning. Because in that episode, we actually called it episode 27 or 26, but it was 27 and it was all kinds of messed up, but we couldn't go back in and re-record. So we just did that little intro at the beginning. And that's just, I think, a good practice to get into, that if there's going to be anything that kind of trips your audience up as they go through the episode, whether it's bad audio or, you know, you use a reference that's incorrect, instead of them spending all this time wondering, wait a minute, he said episode 26, but this is 27, but, you know, and they're not listening to you, just get that out of the way beforehand. I think it helps just set the proper expectations. Now, I was thinking about something, Johnny, for last episode, and I'm wondering if you noticed the great irony of episode 27. Did you notice it? Do you know what I'm referencing?
No.
So we did this episode on scripting, right? It was basically called To Script or Not to Script. That is the question. And we talked about different reasons when you should and should not, or different times when you should and should not use a script. And I had it quote unquote scripted in our notes to mention how I don't like using scripts because I have a lot of fun kind of living in the moment of a recording. And some of the best stuff that I've ever come up with, like best lines and a lot of times the best points I've come up with, have been part of just the spontaneity of the episode, of the recording. And this actually happened during the episode, because that line that we ended up using, you know, use it as a tool, not a crutch, we're talking about scripting, that wasn't in the notes. I hadn't thought about that beforehand. It just happened spontaneously as part of the episode. But what's funny is that I forgot to discuss the importance of living in the moment in the episode and how these great moments will come from spontaneity. So I demonstrated it, right, with this line, use it as a tool and not a crutch, but I forgot to point it out, even though I had basically scripted doing so in the notes. So I just thought that was kind of crazy.
I'm even trying to read it off these notes you have, but I'm still, wow.
Yeah. Hey, you know, sometimes it's better to demonstrate than to tell, but I just wanted to point that out because I did. Like, it was on those notes to talk about, you know, how I love, you know, that's why I don't like using scripts, because you lose the spontaneity, because you end up just going straight off a script. You kind of lose the spontaneity of the conversation, and it happened. So I just wanted to point that out, and that's kind of an addendum to that episode on scripting. You know, live in the moment. Good stuff happens. So, Johnny, we get a lot of questions, both in, obviously, the discussion forum and the Showrunner podcasting course, and people emailing us who listen to the show. And for some reason, tell me if you agree with this, it feels like we're getting an inordinate amount of questions recently about recording interviews, especially recording interviews with Skype. Are you noticing that, or is that just me?
No, it's definitely a common recurring theme on social media, within the course, in my email, and everybody's right now obsessed with recording quality in their interviews.
Yeah.
So I'm actually wondering if the quality, because I was always so steadfastly just like, ignore it, just use Skype, just ignore it, just keep recording interviews, worry about your content. But now Skype has totally like backfired and like caused me a ton of grief that it never used to cause me. So I'm wondering, I mean, it has been, I think my timing's usually way off, but I think it's been about 6 months, or has it been longer, that Microsoft took over Skype. And I was expecting it to fall apart a lot sooner, but now it seems to really be. And it's, I think that that might be why, that it's really just causing a lot of grief. And when it was just kind of the old steady horse before, that it wasn't perfect, but it was always there and would just work. Now it's kind of like, ugh. And I think it's optimal time because there's a lot of competition coming into the marketplace, which I think is going to really shake it up and give us just better options.
Yeah, but do you still agree that for now, until some of these other options are better, that Skype is the best option for folks who are recording interviews?
Absolutely. I've used nothing else. I've just switched the way I've actually recorded it. I only record with Call Recorder now. I don't go straight into GarageBand because that apparently doesn't work for me anymore. It stopped working a couple weeks ago. But absolutely. If you want to do video with it, then obviously there's Google Hangouts. But the audio for me, just for an audio perspective, I think Skype always beats Google Hangouts.
All right. So let's talk about this. Johnny, I know we've talked about it before on the show, but it seems like everybody is ready to hit this topic again. So that'll be today's main topic. Let's talk about some best practices for recording you and your interview guests. Okay. So Johnny, let me kick it over to you. Any opening thoughts on this general topic of the best way to record you and your guest?
Sure, but let's just backtrack a little bit. We had that crazy amount of issues recording the last episode. It took us 4 tries, I believe. Mm-hmm. Then after we recorded it the final time, we actually both heard one from the editor of Rainmaker.fm and then one from my editor for my show. We were getting that white noise in the background. We were both totally freaking out about it. But both of the editors were like, nah, don't worry about it, man. We'll get rid of that instantly.
Yeah.
Which is funny, right? If you are either an editor yourself or you learn Audacity, GarageBand, or Audition really well, then you can do these things yourself. Or you can hire an editor who can get rid of a lot of things and really make your sound a lot better. That was just, it was interesting because we really struggled with it as podcasters. We tried so many times, like, we can't record like this. The white noise, it'll be terrible. Then both editors are like, nah, just don't worry about it.
Yeah. Some of the misadventures were self-inflicted, but it was a good learning experience.
Yeah, and now we have that noise in our ears right now, but it just doesn't matter to us. It was an interesting thing.
Yeah.
But let's get to recording. To me, a big part of recording an interview is simplicity for my guest. As for every stage of getting a guest to come on my show, from reaching out that first time to them booking, to them finding out about my show to being on it, I have to lower the barriers to entry for them. If there's too much friction, they're not going to come on my show. It's hard for them already because they're really, really busy people. But I always hear this talk from people, well, Skype isn't very good, so what if I use this fancy new thing I heard about? Or what if I get them to record on their end? If you're in a technical space and that's not a big deal for your guest, but I'm in the entrepreneurial space. So people who work online, but in spreadsheets and stuff, not in like, oh, what? Now I have to download something and record and then email it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would just be too much. I think 90% of my guests would be like, I just can't do that, John. And I would totally understand. To me, there's this balance where you've got to make it so it's good enough. Skype for me, out about 90 something episodes now, has been totally good enough because my editor is good and he can make that sound. People always tell me, your show sounds great. I've always done it via Skype with people all around the world and myself all around the world. And it's been totally, totally fine.
Yeah, I agree with Skype, and I've gone through the same thing. I mean, look, if you use Skype, you know you're going to run into some frustrations every now and then with the white noise or whatever it is, a connection that just isn't great. I mean, we've all heard Skype war stories, but like you said, it's worth using because so many people use it. Now, I actually like Google Hangouts. I don't think you get quite as good audio from Google Hangouts, so if you're doing an audio-only podcast, it's not the best option. And, you know, the other thing with Google Hangouts is that it raises the barrier for the audience a lot of times. Most people are comfortable with Skype, but Google Hangouts for a lot of people, even though it's been around for a while, it's still kind of this new thing, especially for people, you know, when you're trying to record other people. It's different. It's trickier to get set up.
It's goofy.
It is goofy. Totally. Yeah, it is goofy.
Every time I have to follow somebody's link to get, it's always something. I think that I'm pretty technically adept in that way, but it's like, why is this so hard?
Yeah, I know.
But it's Google.
I know. Here's the thing. You've got to know that whatever your process is, understand that the weak points of it, understand what the weak points are, right? And have a system in place to overcome those when they go wrong, because they will. An example with Google Hangouts is that they'll crash every now and then, and it can be tricky to get back into a Hangout. You don't want to have to, while you're hosting, invite the person again, because obviously you're hosting, you're a little distracted. So that's why, just as an example of a process you can have in place before every Hangout, like I do with you, John, when we record our showrunner huddles, I send the link to you via email. That way you don't have to go into Google Plus and look for the invite. If you get kicked out, you can just click the link, and if I've already invited you, you can get in. So again, you get knocked out, you can get back in. It doesn't disrupt the host or whoever's talking. You don't need a producer there to handle all of it. And again, I just, whether it's Skype, whether it's Google Hangouts, whatever it is, I think it's important to understand what the weak points are. And another example is with Skype and with Call Recorder, having both people, if they can, like on a show like this where we can both record, have both people roll the call recorder. Just in case something goes wrong on one end, you've got another recording. So just whatever you can do, wherever the potential weak points are, try to have something in place to help you overcome those. Now, I want to get back to something that you said with Skype. You mentioned something that, hey, we can record with Skype. We have this white noise because, you know, we have editors who can fix that. So it's okay. Most people don't have an editor like we're able to use who can, you know, that we can just throw the audio file to that may not sound the best and they can make it better, right? But whether you're using GarageBand or Audacity, whatever it is, you don't have to necessarily have some editor to throw to help you fix some little issue that happens. So I want to make sure people don't get scared away like, oh, I need this great software, this great editor to be able to throw it to use this. You don't. For most interviews, I think the standard is Skype. And it's for that very reason, like you said, Johnny, lowering the barriers for your guest. If you want to get good guests, you need to do that. Plus, you want to lower the barriers for yourself, have a process you can follow time in, time out, just so it's easier for you, which I know that you have.
Totally. Exactly. That's a good thing to mention about the editors, because we're both lucky in that way now. I did my first 30-something shows myself, taught myself GarageBand, free software in my laptop with Skype. That's also free software. In addition to, I think it's called Line In, which you have to download to Mac, and then SoundFlower, all free software. It was completely free, and I taught myself GarageBand, edited on my own. The biggest trick with Skype is it's the most basic of all computer tricks. If you and I, Jared, call each other and the first connection's bad, what do? We hang up the call and we try it again. You know that whole, did you turn it off and turn it back on again yet? That whole thing. Usually we'll get a better connection. If it's still bad, we'll both restart the Skype, then usually fixes almost every issue. There's a lot of interviews where I go on the first call and it's like, oh, this is terrible connection. Try it again. We'll try it again. Perfect. Let's do it. If it sounds good, if you sound good to me when I'm talking to you right now through Skype, then the recording's going to come out pretty solid and you don't have to do a lot of post-production. Nothing tricks you after the fact. If it sounds good, then it's going to sound good recorded. It's not like it just pops up and, whoa, my God, this sounds completely different than I thought.
Yeah. And if you want to be extra safe, you could also have both people record directly into GarageBand on each side, assuming, you know, that actually works for you, and then put those two tracks together, which we've tried on one of our recordings and have started doing. Now, we didn't end up having to use it, you know, and I know that is something that people use. It's nice to have as a backup, right? And you know, I don't know. I try not to do that as much just for the simplicity of having everything on one track for the efficiency of it. And what about you? Is that something that you've done or heard positive experience from other people who do it that way?
I've heard positive experiences. The two of us are podcasters, right?
Yes.
So that's nothing for us to do that. But to me, with Hack the Entrepreneur, I would never even think to ask my guests to figure that out. It just doesn't make sense. Again, they have half an hour to be on my show, so we can't have 15 minutes like setting up a recording with them. I have to get on. I have to be taking care of the recording. I record straight into GarageBand with a backup going to Call Recorder so that I have two copies in case something goes terribly wrong. there will be a failure at some point. I know that there's probably going to be about a 1% failure rate because I've had one already and I'm hitting my 100th episode. That'll be a 1% failure rate, which isn't really that bad for completely free software that I think is fairly easy to use. So to me, it's just get in your head that Skype works and then stop thinking about that part. There's so much other stuff to making a good show that to me, my brain just doesn't think about things that are unnecessary anymore. Like I'm not, oh, I wonder if there's a better way now than Skype. It doesn't matter to me. It'll become prevalent when everyone out there and everyone I think will start using it, right? Once it's totally just obvious that this other software exists. And then when this new technology does come out, someday it'll just hear about it and be like, okay, fine, I'll try it because it's been tested by everyone else. I don't want to be part of a beta program myself. But until then, it's just, let's just keep podcasting through Skype recording and making really, really, really good content. That's what's going to work.
Yeah. Congrats on your 100th episode, by the way. Now, tell me if you agree with this, okay? You know, like you said, sometimes you only have this half hour window to do an interview. So you want as little time between when you get on the call with them and hitting record to start the interview as possible. You know, if you can't, it's like when we're hosting episodes of the assembly call, I try to get everybody there at least 5 to 10 minutes early so we can do a quick audio check, you know, make sure your mic's plugged in, make sure the levels are okay, make sure people have headphones in so there's no feedback. Do you have a checklist of things like that that you go over with yourself or with guests beforehand if, you know, obviously time willing?
Not at all.
Oh, do you think it's important to?
To me, again, it's friction, right? And I can't have that in my show. So to me, it's daunting. My guests, lots of them have assistants that set up a computer for them and get them on to Skype. If they then saw this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get on the call immediately and instantly. I can tell if they don't have headphones on because I can hear my voice bouncing back through the speakers and through the microphone. I'll just be like, can you grab headphones? And they're like, oh yeah, I have headphones right here on the desk. They put them on and it's perfect. Great. Almost every laptop now has a pretty decent microphone built into it. Like you wouldn't want to be the host with that microphone, but as a guest, the technology's there. It's really, really is there.
So your philosophy is more deal with the problem if it's there, but just proceed assuming everything's going to be okay. Take the detour only if you have to.
Yeah, I'm like that in everything, though. I can't sit here and be paralyzed with the fact that all these things could go wrong today in my next 4 interviews, one that starts in 24 minutes from now. I'll deal with that if it happens, but it probably won't happen. So let's just roll with it. It's fun and it works. The technology is amazing. This is all made by brilliant people, all this software, way smarter than me.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's not necessarily the technology that I fault. It's just human error that I'm sometimes afraid of. I mean, I agree with you. I think when you're doing an interview with somebody else, it's probably best to just do it that way. Proceed like everything is going to be okay. On some type of recurring show, right? If you can get everybody there a few minutes early just to make sure, I just know, you know, when there's a lot of variables, having your mic plugged in, having this or that setting, having 2 or 3 people's level the same, if you can do it with a recurring group of people to where it doesn't create friction that would prevent them from even being on the show in the first place, I like it as just a natural process. But then again, I told you the horror story from before where I did an interview with someone with my mic unplugged. And awesome, right? Ever since then, I've been paranoid, you know, about just overly checking stuff beforehand.
Yeah, I agree. If there was more people, like when we do our webinars for the course, you and I get on in advance because there is more stuff, especially with the Google Hangout, then video, lighting. But with just straight audio across Skype, I call the person and it's either going to sound good or it's not. My GarageBand, literally, it's a template already set up for Skype recording. I just have to open up that template, hit record, and I'm good to go. I just save it as the person's name after. It's a simplified process at this point. It depends on what you're doing.
All right. So I've got 2 more questions for you before we get to our listener question. Maybe you already answered this. You talked about how even computer mics in a lot of cases are good enough for a guest. I've also heard of people who, even just as a thank you for guests, will send them like a $25 headset or something else. Do you do any of that? Do you recommend any of that for your guests? Like you should have this or that? Or again, you just let it fly and only if it's below a certain threshold do you even think about it?
Yeah, I don't do any of that. again, it's to me, it's daunting for my guests. So at least in my market, it is just, it's too much, right? So they're going to look at all this stuff and be like, I'm just going to say no, I have to cancel. And it's just, you know what I mean? It's just the way it is. I'm not having issues with it. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Headsets work well. Headsets work great for recording. I've had lots of guests use headsets. I'm not going to send them one. I send them a book after with my signature in it and stuff because it builds the relationship.
But
sending a headset is like, if I send a headset to somebody, it's going to be at their house. Then they're going to be at work and they're not going to have it anyways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can do these things if you really want. There's nothing wrong with it. But if there's not enough work to producing your show already, then by all means, get into this. But there's a lot of work already. If your end is good, you have good headphones in, and when that person comes on Skype, they don't sound good. There's simple ways to fix it usually. If not, then you can just not release it or not record it right then and tell them, let's try again when you have a better connection or in a better room or a better microphone. If it's really that bad, which I haven't had that issue, but maybe I'm not as picky as some people. I don't know. Some people just keep telling me that my show sounds great.
Probably, you know, the place to think about doing that, you know, is if you're going to have a recurring guest or a co-host, you want to make sure that they have good enough sound.
Of course.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
the guy like assembly to get them set up this season with better microphones, you know, just so that the sound is better. I mean, if you are the showrunner of a show and there are recurring guests, that's where to think about doing that. And I guess that's where I was headed with that question.
Yeah.
And you kind of answered my second question too, which was going to be, as you're going through an interview, and we've all had this happen, where you get the little digital noise in Skype, or maybe they're on a phone and their connection starts breaking up because maybe they're driving and they're losing connection. At what point do you stop it or say, hey, we've got to take a break, or we've got to get a better connection? Or do you just try and ride it through, especially with, you know, a one-time really busy guest?
Well, if it's a one-time busy guest that I really, really want or need on the show, then I'll ignore it as much as I can. Like the most popular podcast we all listen to, we're all so used to just this time listening to these podcasts and hearing that little bit of digital breakup sometimes for 2 seconds that goes across a voice. We know it's Skype. It's a Skype connection. They're somewhere around the world, and there's hilarious, insane technology involved, right? So we're just okay with it, and that's totally fine. It's just a part of podcasting at this point. I don't think that it's a bad thing. I really don't like breaking up the flow of my interview with, okay, let's stop. It has happened, and sometimes it's happened a couple times during, but I usually don't even end up releasing that episode because it's all us trying to go back, remember exactly where we've left off. And it just never seems to be right at the beginning of an answer. So it's always, you know, like right in the middle, and they try to repeat themselves. And I would rather just go with the flow. It works way better for me. I also have this sheet that I work off when I'm doing interviews where I'm taking notes constantly, and I have this giant section of time-stamped places for edits. When there are little things that do go on, I'll just mark down the time off my GarageBand, and so my editor can just notice those parts and be like, okay, and he'll cut them. He'll either cut them out, and we'll see if we can maybe get rid of that question sometimes, or else I'll just tighten it up and try to make it as good as we can. I just like the flow. To me, the content is way, way, way more important. That's what kind of the essence of this whole conversation is. And once we're at a certain level, the content is, it's that, right? The content has to be engaging. It has to be a real conversation. So the more you break it up because it sounds bad, then it sounds great, but the content's all jagged. And if you ever listen to a show where you can hear that it's just edited like so heavily. And so I know when I'm listening to myself, I would just rather have it good, solid conversations recorded, not quite as well with tiny errors in them, maybe here and there. But to me, podcasts about the content, it just really is.
Would you rather have good, solid connections or good, solid connections?
Definitely good.
So I think... So I think it's time to get to our listener question, which also means it's time to provide some details about the breaking news that you apparently alluded to earlier. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. And we do have some breaking news. It's coming next. All right, so before we get to the listener question, do you want to fill the audience in on the breaking news?
So the last episode we talked about scripting. Is this the breaking news? I'm pretty sure this is the breaking news. See, this is the first part of this episode that's not scripted. So yeah. We did an episode about scripting and whether you should script, and we kind of went to the point where, no, you really shouldn't just script the whole thing. Then we wanted to redo an episode about recording interviews for your podcast, because it literally is something, we didn't just make that up in the intro, but it's something that's being brought up to our attention. The questions are just really, really, really in our face about it. So, which is great. And so we were literally going to just replay part of episode 12, the main section where we covered this for people, and do a new intro, new outro, new question of the day. But instead, We decided last minute, literally right as we were doing this, that we would just read the transcript. So we went to rainmaker.fm, found Showrunner, like you should, and we went to the transcript of episode 12, and we just read it to you. Mm-hmm. At times, you can probably tell that we read it to you. At times, you can tell that the transcriptionist might have confused what we said, and we just read it to you. And I have to say that, Jared, you did a really good job. You ad-libbed just the right amount, and I found that my inflections came off completely wrong as to what the point was I was trying to make it.
Well, what's funny is when that happens and then you try and like put the toothpaste back in the tube, you know, like just follow along with an inflection that wasn't quite right. Well, and I loved here at the end, so that little joke at the end, in the transcript it says, I would rather have good conversations, which if I was reading that too, that would be so awkward to see, and you changed it to just good conversations.
It was really confusing at times. So, I mean, I don't know. We probably did an okay job. We completely read a script. But as I said before, you and I did this, Jared, we didn't write a script and then read it, right? The conversation was loose when we did the original episode 12. Mm-hmm. Transcriptionist did a verbatim copy of it. So what we were reading was actually more natural than if I was to sit down and just try and write out that whole script for us and then have us read it. It would have sounded, I think, even more awkward than it did. It would have just been good. It wouldn't have been a good conversation.
good. Also, we didn't look at the transcript first. We just dove right into it without looking at it.
So you started to, and then I was like, no, come on, man. We can't do that.
That's why I was over here. I don't know if anybody could hear me, but I was over here like just trying to stifle laughter and was only halfway successful when you said about a 1% failure rate, because I've had one failure already and I'm hitting my 100th episode. I figured that was a little Easter egg for anybody that
it was nice of you to congratulate me on my upcoming 100th episode.
Yeah. Okay, so
that was fun.
That was fun. I enjoyed that. That was a good idea.
We made some good points in episode 12.
We did. We did.
We did. Yeah.
We did. So let us know. Thumbs up, thumbs down on our script reading.
Let us know if we should do this with all the episodes.
Yeah, just go back and reread them. Okay. So our script reading and the listener question brought to you by the Rainmaker platform. Johnny, did you know that you can create online courses and execute sophisticated marketing automation with Rainmaker? Did you know that?
So I did. I haven't used the automation yet, but I did create a course once, and it was pretty awesome, I'd have to say.
It was
the Showrunner course, yeah.
Yes.
But I've heard about the automation, and I've seen it in action, but I haven't actually had to use it myself.
It's pretty great. And everybody can go to rainmakerplatform.com, get started with a 14-day free trial. And when you do that, go actually to rainmakerplatform.com/webinar, because Brian Clark and I are in the middle of a 6-part series of webinars we're doing, where basically the first half hour of each webinar is Brian Clark opening his brain and, you know, spilling just incredible strategy for online marketing and digital business. I mean, it's great stuff. And then I follow up with a demo showing you specific elements of the platform and how you use them to execute the strategies that Brian's talking about. The webinars are all free. 3 of them are already done, about building an email list, launching a podcast, and then using free downloads, member areas, and courses to start to generate that logged in experience. And we have upcoming webinars about paid courses and about using the marketing automation. So again, those are free. All the dates are there. And the 3 that are already done, you can watch the replays of them. So go to rainmakerplatform.com/webinar. All right, let's do the listener question. And it's a very appropriate listener question because I think it goes into the topic that we were just addressing. And Johnny, I think you are really well qualified to answer this. So I'm going to pose this question to you. It comes to us from Jason Ogle or Ogle. Sorry, Jason, I don't know how to pronounce your name. O-G-L-E. He wrote us and said, thank you for the showrunner. I'm starting a new show called User Defenders, which is all about inspiring interviews with UX design superheroes. And the website for that is userdefenders.com. And I'm in the process of getting a few interviews in the can before launching. Do you guys have any creative ideas for how a busy family man with 5.5 kids, that's interesting, can schedule interviews for a once-a-week show while maintaining a full-time job? I don't have kids, so I'm probably not the best to answer this, but Mr. Nasser, you do, and I'm curious to hear what your answer is.
I have 1.2 kids. I don't. I have one kid, so maybe this is... And I don't have a full-time job, so... But, so... I guess I would look... First of all, I would have to... You would have to be creative. Because, well, you're looking for creative ideas, so I guess this works. And you are a designer within UX, I'm assuming, or that's just a passion of yours, but I'm assuming that that's what it is. And you have 5 kids, so, and it sounds like another one on the way. So you're probably already creative with your time. So there's the obvious, which is before the kids wake up or after the kids go to bed, only interview people in Australia and Asia because it'll be the middle of the day for them. Or... use your day job. If your day job is anything related to UX design, just talk to somebody and see if you can do it at your office. If you have an office, I don't know anything about your situation, so it's hard to be creative. But I would be like, oh, I'm going to talk to my boss. I'm going to use part of the office. It's going to take me 1 hour a week to do this. It's going to help you. Your brand's going to make you better. It's going to make you happier. All these things. And it's going to, in some way, probably help the business that you do. Because I'm assuming, I'm going out on a limb, that you are a UX designer. Which then, it's creating cool content within your business. It doesn't have to be for the business, but there's ways you can do this if you want to. You're asking me to be creative with very, very limited knowledge of what you're trying to do. I think you just have to be really creative, because I know a guy who has, I think he said 3 or 4 shows, and I believe he has 8 kids. I talked to him a lot of time. Yeah, exactly. And he's like part owner of a business that has like 25 or 28 employees. Like, he's a busy, busy guy, but he still does crazy like story and edited podcasts. They're amazing. I don't know how he does it, but he does, because he just makes time for it, and he has to be creative. So you're probably going to have to edit at 2 a.m. some nights, and because your show comes out tomorrow, but that's just the only time you have. You have to decide if you really, really want to do it. And it sounds like you do, but you're going to have to be creative. But because it's such a specific thing to sounds like a specific job, I would really try and see if you can make that part of your work week. That's what I would do. That's what Jared gets to do. It's amazing.
Yes. And I, yes. And I have a couple of additional ideas here. And he's looking for creative ideas. So, you know, with the kids, I mean, shoot, I say put them to work, make them earn their keep, right? Train one on how to do show notes, train one on scheduling software, train another one on GarageBand so they can edit. Let's go. Let's get them.
Actually, that's hilarious, because the guy who has the 8 kids, they're actually all homeschooled as well down in Florida. And one of his kids, I think the oldest one, he taught him GarageBand or Audacity or something, and he edits all of his shows, and that's part of his like schooling.
There you go. Now, the other thing too is you can create little costumes out of sound deadening foam and give each costume like a little name, and they can be almost like, you know, the sound deadening superheroes. And then each kid gets dressed up in the sound deadening foam costume, and they stand in front of your microphone while you talk. And now they're serving a purpose, and you're babysitting them at the same time. So
you don't have kids, do you?
I don't. Hey, he's asked for creative ideas, so I'm just coming up with stuff.
Or if you have sound deadening stuff, you could really just get a closet, put sound deadening stuff all in it, and then just throw the kids in there and lock the door.
I thought you were going to say you go in there and record, but
well, that wouldn't be creative. That would just be that's how podcasters work. No, right. Put all the kids into the closet with the sound deadening.
Okay, and I do have a real idea for this because I don't have kids, but I do juggle, you know, three shows outside of what I do for work while maintaining a full time job. And I will tell you this, and one of them is pretty much an interview show that I do once a week. And this is not a creative idea at all. In fact, it's such an obvious idea that I think it's easy to overlook. But I think it's more and more important the busier that we get. And that is put a time on the calendar every week when you're doing this. And this is when you schedule that interview. Because I noticed that I was having a real hard time trying to budget time each week and schedule. And it was really hard. Okay, do I do it Wednesday afternoon? Do I fit it in Tuesday morning? Like, do I need to do this Monday night? Like, when do I schedule time for this weekly show? And finally, I said, Tuesday, 11 a.m. Every single Tuesday at 11 a.m. is when I'm recording for that week's episode. And I schedule my interviews at that time. And if people can't do it, then I schedule them for a few weeks later. If I don't have anybody, then, you know, it'll become a monologue show where I'll just do it with, you know, kind of a recurring co-host. But I just put that on my calendar. And what's nice about that is it no longer kind of becomes a variable. It just becomes an element on the calendar and it's just assumed. And it takes a few weeks to adjust to it, but then it's just on there. You always do it. You know it's coming. And it's like, you know, even though it's every single week and it's recurring and it feels like that would almost be constraining, the constraint is freeing because now you're not so worried about scheduling and when it's going to be. It's just always right at that time. So I would say pick a time that you can stick with most times. And every now and then I have to move it, but at least having the element there on the calendar is just really freeing in kind of an ironic way. Yeah. But that would be my advice.
I think that that's probably the best advice that we've given. And because I say that about like working out or like, don't just be like, I'm going to go to the gym three times this week. Be like, I'm going to go Tuesday at 2 p.m. I'm going to go Thursday at 4. It's, you just have to put it on the calendar. Otherwise, these things don't get done. So that's a great idea.
So look for a scripted reread of that answer on a future episode of The Showrunner.
Yeah. And actually one last thing, you are going to have to be creative. You're going to have to figure it out, but please, please, please do your show once a week. Do it. Just yes. Figure it out. And if it takes you 3 months first before you can launch, because to fit it all in and get enough shows backlogged, then take that time, but start it. You're really, Jason, you're going to be so happy with the fact that it's out and that you've figured out a way to do it. Just please do it and hit us up in other ways if you have to. If you need a kick in the butt at some point, we'll help you out.
You ready for a podcast recommendation?
Yeah, totally. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So several weeks back, I think, I don't know, maybe longer than several weeks ago now, we recommended that folks branch out and go find a new podcast, go listen to new podcasts, discover new podcasts. And that's part of why we want to do this podcast recommendation. And I realized this week, you know, that is great advice and you want to do that, but you've also got to balance it with remembering the old podcast that you love and not letting them kind of get lost in the shuffle. And so my podcast recommendation for folks this week is to actually go back and listen to a favorite podcast that you've put on the back burner. Because sometimes we get so busy discovering new ones that we forget about the ones we love the most. And I'll tell you why I'm thinking about this week is because I've had two random conversations with people in the past week about Radiolab, which has always been one of my favorite shows. I really like it, but I haven't been listening to it as much lately because I've been trying new shows, doing new things. But these two conversations were with people who basically pointed out recent episodes of Radiolab that they loved. And it reminded me, okay, I got to go back and re-listen to these episodes. I've been putting this one on the back burner. So that is my recommendation to folks, is go back, a favorite show of yours that you haven't listened to in a while, go back and give it another chance. Get it back at the top of your feed and listen to maybe one of the most recent episodes, or shoot, even listen to a classic episode. But pull it back out, dust it off, give it another try. Do you have any recommendations for folks this week, Johnny?
I'm going to go back and start listening to Planet Money again.
Ooh, there are two really good episodes of Planet Money, by the way.
It's been too long, but I love that you just reminded me to go back. You're right. I'm like constantly like finding new ones and looking for new ones and hearing people's recommendations, then getting totally like down to that feed. And then I only have so much time that I listen to podcasts. So
yeah,
Planet Money, here comes.
Yep. There's one about how hard work is overvalued, basically, which is really interesting. There is another one about free, which is really interesting, about what happens when you take something free and then make people pay for it. They tell the story about how the Red Cross started charging for donuts, and like the veterans still talk about it with rancor in their voice. Like you've got to listen to it. It's a fascinating story. So there we go. Planet Money. Go back and listen to an old favorite. There's nothing else on the script. I don't know what to say.
Call to action.
Oh, call to action. But it's blank.
The four tips to getting your podcast going. I don't remember what it's called. Do you want to build a remarkable podcast?
The four tips to getting your podcast going. Okay. How about the four essential elements of a remarkable podcast? So glad you...
Also works. Also works.
Yes. And that is the content series. If you go to showrunner.fm, you'll see the sign up form. If you're not already on our email list, join it. You'll get this content series dripped out to you over the course of a week, the four essential elements of a remarkable podcast. It discusses our core concepts, the pillars of what we talk about here at the Showrunner. And so we want you to have that, especially if you're a new listener. It's a good place to start, showrunner.fm. And of course, let us know what you thought of our script reading from earlier in the episode. We'd love to know.
Yeah. This was fun.
This was fun.
I'm glad we did this. I'm glad we didn't just copy and paste the old conversation.
Yeah. Because we had originally talked about just rebroadcasting episode 12. But I think this was a much more fun and creative and hopefully not infuriating way to do it. But we'll wait for the audience response, because again, we never really know. You have a hypothesis, you put something out there, and you see how the audience responds. So let us know how you respond.
Right.
Talk to y'all next week, everybody.
Take care. So Jared, I was just going to go to the end of that transcript of the one we read just to see what the outro was and just like if I could say part of it.
Oh, well, what is it?
There's one where you're like, no secret audio at the end of this one, huh? And I'm like, no secret audio. Then it says, no time, no time, no time.
No time. What the hell?
I guess it was skipping.
No time,
and then you're
no
just
time.
Like, and you're just like, no time. I'm like, wow, why is it just like... It's like the person who wrote this out, like, John, you just repeat yourself over and over. You just say three things. It's the rule of three. I guess I'd read that blog post.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that was funny.